T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's talk some White Sox.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm Lawrence. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. It's a fast first hour that we had. Second one, hopefully, will be the same speed and the same information. Sox Fest is coming up this weekend, and it's sold out. People are excited to talk about the White Sox and get themselves down to Glendale to maybe catch some games starting on the 22nd of February. And I know that Michael Kopech's got a thing that he's doing right now, like has an appearance that he's doing right now, and people are fired up. The ticket sales are going well for the White Sox, all of those things. So I figured I'd reach out to my buddy Mike Hall. And ordinarily, when we talk with Mike Hall, we talk to him about the Big Ten because, you know, he's the main anchor at the Big Ten Network. But he's also a crazy White Sox person. So when we have a chance, we can talk crazy White Sox stuff with him, like we're going to do now. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford Melrose Park has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. I love Mike Hall, and now he's here with me on The Score. Hello, sir.
Hello, Mike Hall. Hi, buddy. How are you, man?
I am doing really, really well. Can I start with some, just get your feelings on, I did not like the fact that the voters didn't allow Paul Konerko to at least advance one more year in Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah. I mean, we love him so much, and we're obviously blinded, but if you were being as fair nationally as you could be, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
No, I do not, but I think he deserved more than 2.5% of the votes.
I think that's fair too. And it's weird. I don't know why we do this, but I do it. Like, we care about things like that. People make a huge deal about Jeter missing by one vote of unanimous, and it bothers us when someone who's great only gets 2% of the vote. Like, you know, it's, I kind of wish it was a little more black and white and there was no gray area to the thing, but
me too.
He's one of the 10 best, five best, probably 10 best White Sox ever, Konerko.
I think that that's fair. And when you look at the 438 home runs, like, I don't want to relitigate it because I was talking with Dan and Connor about it. But my thing is if we're going to punish the guys that we think did the stuff, then why aren't we elevating the guys that we don't think did the stuff? That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Anyone who there was nowhere near a whiff of any suspicion should be lauded for going through that era and doing it the right way. I completely agree.
So how's it feel to be a White Sox fan right now?
I think in 14 years, this is the most excited I've been in the winter for the White Sox, right? So we win the World Series, and then we add Tommy. That's the last time that there was an offseason that I was as nerdy excited about this season. I mean, the top free agent catcher is ours. A recent Cy Young winning starter is ours. We trade for a high ceiling outfield prospect. We add a starter to the rotation in Gonzalez. We add a bullpen guy of value. And then we seal the deal with Luis Robert, and, you know, Kopech's coming back, and Madrigal's maybe not going to start the year, but maybe he will. And he's going to be up. Like, all of the exciting parts are happening at once. And then you add in all these guys they add in the off season. Like, I'm super nerding out right now, man.
The Grandal signing to me, I felt like was really key because it felt like it unlocked the door and it put up the sign of, hey, the White Sox are giving away money. Like, maybe they are a viable option for me if I'm a free agent.
And how about, like, think of where we were a year ago, right? The narrative was once again the White Sox miss out on Manny Machado, and once again the White Sox can't get a big guy. And look what they did with the money instead. Like, how much better are they using the money they did this offseason instead of getting one mega free agent last year? Like, it all worked out in a much better position, I believe, than if they did what their plan A was in the offseason of 2019.
Talking with Mike Hall of the Big Ten Network. Why? Because he's a crazy White Sox person. Are you going to host one of the panels at Sox Fest?
Well, you are a good friend and a kind enough man to put me in touch with the White Sox on this. But yes, they are on Saturday at 2, because you're a kind soul. I will be hosting infield chatter at Sox Fest with Yoan and Tim Anderson. And before I go on, yes, that is two of the top three AL batting average players from last year. Along with Danny Mendick, one of the September call-ups infielder last year, who also hit over 300 in September with the Sox. And then Joe McEwen, the bench coach. So the four of us will have the stage for about an hour talking, I think, everything from legitimate infield stuff to just, like, one of the goals I have with this is I kind of want to know what the players went through in all this. Like, I want to ask, like, Tim, did you know about Yasmani Grandal from Twitter? Does Rick Hahn give you a text saying, here's a heads up? Did you watch it on MLB Network? Like, how did these guys find out that the club was being reshaped? That's one of the big things I'm really excited to talk to them all about.
Well, I'm curious too. I mean, I don't mean to tell you how to do your panel. It's your panel, but I want to know from Moncada, like, what is the difference between you playing second and playing third? Because he looked a hell of a lot more comfortable at third than he did at second.
Yeah, he really did. And how much, I bet he and McEwen would have an interesting take on, like, how much different are you as a batter when you're more comfortable in the field? Like, can it play mind games with you at the plate if you just don't feel as confident when half of the game you're in the infield at the position that you don't necessarily play better?
Yeah, it's a wonderful – that panel, man, I should not have passed that up.
You blew it.
I blew it, but I'll be on South Beach, so I think it'll be all right for me. I think it'll end up working out for me in the end. You know what I was thinking when you were rattling off, like, all the things that the White Sox did this offseason? What's more exciting, the new guys or the guys who were already here?
Whew, yeah, right? That is a really interesting question because, right, well, I think we agree that the Yoan and the Tim that we saw last year is what they are, right? That is, and then maybe it's the peak of what they are, but it seems more likely that that's what they are. These guys are 300 hitters, and these guys are, you know, Yoan is not the guy who struggled the first 2 years. This is the dude who was the number one prospect in baseball a few years ago. But we still have that uncertainty of, like, Nick Madrigal was just drafted. And he could be with this team in a matter of weeks. And Luis Robert, like, everyone in the world is drooling over him. You know, it's funny. I was listening to Rich Eisen earlier today on his radio show, and he was he's a big Yankees fan, and he was sort of ticking down all the things that were the 90s. And he was like, well, we knew Andy Pettit could be a top-of-the-rotation guy, and we knew Jorge Posada was a big talent at the catcher, and it all started with Jeter, and he was the driving force, and we thought Mariano would be really good, but remember, he was pitching in the seventh and eighth in 95-ish, and I was ticking through, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like such an interesting parallel to what the White Sox are going through. Like, we knew Yoan was the centerpiece of the rebuild. When he's the focal point of the Chris Sale trade, he's the guy that's driving it. And I'm not saying he's going to be Derek Jeter or anything like that, but it's sort of like, well, that's the prospect that has to hit. And then, you know, your Kopech, although obviously he's a starter instead of a reliever, like, well, he's got the high potential of, is this guy going to be an arm for the next decade? And then, you know, ticking it down from Madrigal to Robert to all these guys that they were, to Eloy, and how they fit in different pieces. It reminds me, and I'm obviously nerdy and giddy and getting way ahead of myself, but it reminds me of those early to mid-90s Yankees of building bit by bit. Now, the difference is, obviously, those guys all panned out, and we don't know if Eloy and Luis, et cetera, are going to end up being great players. But, boy, just the thought of it is so much fun that the long answer to your question is I think the fun stuff is watching the 22 and 23-year-olds who we drafted, who we know went through Winston-Salem and went through Charlotte to get up here. I think that's going to be more fun. Wait, do you think that's more fun, or do you like the new guys we signed?
Well, the new guys, like I feel like the new guys are an affirmation that the guys who were already here are as good as they were hoping they'd be, or at least showed you enough that you were willing to then go out and spend. Because you look up and you're like, well, wait, Tim Anderson won the batting title. You're like, and I do want him to walk more, but if he's going to hit his way to a 350 on base, I'm good with that.
Right.
And I still think that there is more potential for power with him. And as he gets more and more comfortable with what he's seeing and pitching that's going on in major leagues when it comes to his at-bats, I think that he can be better. The Moncada thing, I think that's, you're 100% right. If Moncada doesn't start looking like the player that he was last year, then we're all sitting there going, oh, well, yeah, Aloy hits the ball out of the ballpark, but he also strikes out and someone needs to take his glove away because he's not always great at catching the ball. The fact that you actually had these flashpoint moments in a bunch of different areas, and then that emboldened the White Sox to say, all right, I'm gonna go and make some moves to try and build this to make this a legitimate team. We haven't even talked about Encarnacion. Like, that's like that's what's crazy. Like, you start to look at the length of what the White Sox lineup could be this year, and it's very, very exciting.
I think you're right to the first thing you mentioned, too. Encarnacion, Grandal, and Keuchel, all three of them could have gone to any of 20 to 25 different teams, right? I mean, they could have picked basically where they wanted to go to play the next few years. And they chose 35th and Shields because of what they see and what the future is. And it's not like, so they were a 72-win team last year. My goal as a fan was like, okay, if we're going to be realistic and not be bonkers excited, then in 2020, I want to be 500. And in 2021, I want to be in the 90s and fighting for a playoff spot. And like, when you add those guys, it feels like 500 is too low. In this division where Minnesota's a threat, but Cleveland's falling apart and Detroit seems to be garbage, like, I don't think...
And Kansas City.
And Kansas City, like, I think 88, 90 wins is possible. And you have to think, if you're a Grandal or a Keuchel or an Encarnacion, like, you wouldn't have signed up if you thought this team's goal was to get to 500. You thought they would be better than that too.
And what's crazy is that I think just about every White Sox fan would have been totally fine if the White Sox walked into 2020 with James McCann as their starting catcher. And
yes.
Now you take that guy and you make him your number two, and you have if Grandal has an injury, if he's got a hamstring or something, you feel completely comfortable with James McCann catching for 2 weeks straight. Like it's
right.
It's that sort of thing where you take a guy who clearly had an impact on Lucas Giolito. They got along. They got on the same page. Offensively, in the first half of the season, he was great. He dropped in the second half. But that's a solid player. And now it's a solid player that's your number two catcher instead of you depending on all the great offensive stuff that you got from him last year. It's the perfect type of guy to have in your clubhouse. It's the perfect type of guy to have with Lucas Giolito to be his personal catcher if that's what they end up doing. And
right. That
says to me that your team has actual depth and not just a bunch of guys whose names you know.
And it gives, you know, to use the NBA term of service time, right? Okay, so maybe McCann DHs one day and then Abreu's at first and then it flips around and then Abreu, maybe he only plays 5 days a week instead of six or seven. And that, like, the trickle-down effect of the fact that they have a couple guys in a couple different positions, maybe that helps keep kids fresh throughout the year. In the same way, Lawrence, like, I don't have it in front of me right now, but that rotation, like, if dudes come back healthy, there's, like, six guys that either you trust or you think can be. That guys that, like, you know, deserve a shot to be in that rotation. Like, depending on what happens in spring training, there could be added depth that you've got a guy who's your, you know, long reliever that you'd be okay, again, if something were to happen to Kopech, of going, okay, never mind, now you're going to be the fifth starter for a few weeks.
Does your schedule allow for you to get to Glendale?
You know what, man? The two things as a White Sox fan that I've never done are going to spring training and doing Sox Fest. So I'm striking one off right now, but it's so hard because, you know, March Madness is the trail end of spring training, and then those late February games,
right,
when the conference play is really heated up, it's so hard to get away for more than a day or two at a time. So I haven't been able to go yet. I'm going to go, obviously, someday, but no, it's still on my bucket list.
Have you bought any tickets for the season yet?
No, but I have multiple text threads with buddies where we're all deciding who's going to be buying season or opening day tickets from whomever else. So I'll definitely be at opening day one way or another.
I forgot. Linda, is she a Sox fan or a Cub fan?
I wouldn't have married her if she didn't wear the black and white. You understand me?
All right, okay. I just wanted to...
You know, it's funny. She was raised in the North Side, surrounded by Cubs fans, with an older brother Cubs fan, and she was a White Sox fan. She just always has been.
I imagine she's pretty excited about her Illini right now.
She is, as much as I've been giddy and nerding out about the White Sox the last 15 minutes with you and the last 2 months, she is sending me all caps texts every time they play with all cap ILL and 15 exclamation points. She and most my whole family went to Illinois, so they're all, goodness, they're in second place in the Big Ten, and we're approaching late January. Who saw that happening?
I don't think anyone saw that happening. They're off to their best start in conference play in 15 years. Like, it's been a good run for the Illini.
Yeah, they're fun. I mean, Kofi Coburn, you know, geez, he's got pro potential all over him. Io DeSumo's been great. Georgie Bishanishvili, Sean Norris and I were on the late show last night, and Sean kept talking about how Georgie Bishanishvili is arguably the key to this team because he's taken a back seat willingly. I mean, he had such a surprising and successful freshman year last year, but then they get this Coburn kid who's likely to do what he did last night, 22 and 15, and he hasn't been a frowning guy on the bench saying, I wish I was starting. He's like totally on board with it. And because of that, now they got, speaking of depth, they've got depth in their rotation, and they've been ranked now back-to-back weeks. They're really looking good. They are a fun team to watch.
They are. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Well, Mike, I appreciate you jumping on. I am looking forward to you. I'm glad that you're going to get this opportunity at Sox Fest. It is a lot of fun, and it's like a big old family reunion. So, and the fact that you're leading one of these panels, I think, is dope.
Well, you're a kind man for helping me set it up. And if nothing else, you know, when I run out of things to do, I'll make fun of Benetti because that always works.
I agree. I think that's a good call. But I can't imagine with that panel that you've got that you're going to have to.
I agree. I think it'll be pretty fun, lively conversation.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you, Linda, and the babies at White Sox games this spring. Thanks so much for being on the show.
You're a good man, pal. Talk soon.
That is Mike Hall of the Big Ten Network. He is going to be hosting a panel at Sox Fest. So they asked me to do it. Because has it been every year? I think it's been every year over the last five I've done a panel at Sox Fest. And I can't because I'm going to the Super Bowl. Breaking news. I'm going to go cover the Super Bowl. NBC Sports Chicago and the Score is like, hey, we could send that one guy down there. So I'm the one guy. So I'm going to be doing the show from Radio Row next week, and then I'm going to be doing some podcast stuff for NBC Sports Chicago and some stuff on STL, like that sort of thing. So I couldn't do it. I'm leaving Friday. So I couldn't do it, and it sucked because if ever there was a Sox Fest that you wanted to be at, this would be the one because people are going to be happy. They're not going to be looking for Kenny with a flashlight. I see you. I see you. They're not going to be waiting for Rick Hahn. Like, you promised us jetpacks, you son of a... Now it's going to be like, yay! This is going to be the happiest Sox Fest since 2006. And I'm not going to be there to be a part of it. I'm not mad. I'm looking forward to some time in the sun in 75 degrees. But they said, well, who should do it? And I was like, Mike Hall should do it. Secret White Sox fan. He's not a secret. He's a crazy White Sox fan. So I'm glad that happened. And so if you're going to Sox Fest, when you see the panel with Mike Hall, now you know how crazy he is about this White Sox team. So make sure you support the panel that he does Saturday at 2 p.m. at Sox Fest. It's sold out. Can you believe it, Herbie? Sox Fest is sold out.
It's about time. It's not my cup of tea, but I'll be doing something after too.
Oh yeah, what are you doing? Locked on podcast?
No, the folks from the 108 and the Sox Machine got together and they invited me to do their panel at 10 o'clock at Reggie's.
Yeah, shout out to Josh because he had asked me to do it and I was all for it. And they're going to do a big party over at Reggie's and I was going to be a part of the party. And then they were like, would you like to go to the Super Bowl? And I was like, yes, I would like to go to Miami for a week and talk about ball. So I'm going to do that.
I'm sure Melissa's happy about that.
Yeah, she is. She's going to join me for a couple days. So that's the place where, you know, if she would want me to work. I don't even know if I would want to work there, but it's hard when you walk past the Clevelander and you walk past like Levitard set and you're like, damn, he figured it all out.
You're like, who are these Marlins? Let's see. Let's get into this media guy real quick.
No, I don't even care about it. I'm not even talking about it from the sports standpoint. I'm talking about it from the sports radio standpoint. Levitard made ESPN come to him. They work 50 feet from the beach. I mean, it's insane. You talk about the top of the profession. That's where it is. He's it right now. He lives like two blocks from the studio, walks to work every day. So every time we go down there and we walk past it, Mel's basically like, why aren't you Dan Levitard? And I'm like, because I'm not as good. I don't know. But I would want that here. And she doesn't understand that.
You don't have to worry about hurricanes, either the actual players or the weather.
Correct. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But I do have to worry about people's cars freezing in their parking spots, which has happened this past week. It's a thing. Have you seen these? Like, I walked out of the gym Sunday, and over by U of C, there's this dip. Like, the road isn't completely level. So the water ends up towards the west side of Ellis. So once there's water and it gets cold, it freezes, and there are so many cars that their tires are just frozen into the street. And there's one guy, I get so mad. I don't even rock a scooter or a motorcycle, but there's one guy who has his scooter out there, and I'm like, I feel like this is scooter abuse. Like, your scooter shouldn't be outside. Not now. You should have a place for that thing.
I mean, if you do buy a scooter in Illinois, you get what you deserve. What do you got, 3 months of riding?
No, I mean, you can ride it. If it's in the 40s, you can ride it, you know, from here to there. But once you see that the snow is coming, I felt so bad for that little scooter. And I know it's not a person. It's a machine. But it felt like it was unfair. Why is this scooter out here getting snowed on? It's a bad, bad thing. I rambled on too long. Back after this on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So, Herbie, are people too excited about the White Sox or just the right amount of excited?
I mean, like before we said, if you're a hungry man and somebody throws you a cracker, you're going to be like, man, that cracker's delicious. I know that's an Eddie Murphy skit. But Rick Hahn is actually throwing us probably some steaks. So the proper level of excitement is out there. I don't care about the Twins winning 103 games last year. They're coming back down.
Well, maybe, but this texter says you can't slug your way. And I say the 2019 Twins and the Yankees say hello.
Literally.
Yeah, in your own division. Well, what happened in the playoffs? The playoffs are a statistical crapshoot.
Like, what happened in the – what do you mean?
Right.
I would love if the White Sox made the playoffs. You act like it's something – like not to be celebrated.
Yes, this texter believes that the way you build a team is with pitching and defense. Sure, in a perfect world, that is a great way to build a team. But you act as if a team hitting 310 home runs that the Twins hit over a 162 game schedule, like that's not going to be effective. It's very much effective. It won them the division
and
by a wide margin over a team with how many wins did the Cleveland have last year?
Like 95, something like that.
By a wide margin over a team with 95 wins. Okay.
And also, it's not like the White Sox didn't add pitching.
Correct.
Also.
That is correct. They added boppers and they added pitching. Imagine that you could do both, that you don't have to just say, well, we're going all pitching and defense. That you can add pitching and defense, and you can add offensive firepower. And it's never, ever going to be perfect. No GM is ever going to have a perfect offseason. This one's pretty good. And if you look at all of the things that the White Sox needed going into the offseason and then what they ended up doing, I feel like they filled a lot of their holes, lineup holes. I still think that they could be better defensively. Like I'm not excited about their outfield defense, and I'd love for Tim Anderson to cut down on some of his errors. But, fam, they kind of hit all the things that we were talking about going into this thing.
And this caller this texter kind of hits on a problem I think that baseball fans have, especially Cub fans, about making the playoffs being some type of like thing that you're supposed to do and poo-pooing, oh, they only made the playoffs.
Yeah, they only won a division.
Like, it's the hardest league to make the playoffs in. And to make the playoffs is a thing.
And it's not always indicative. The way that the season ends is not always indicative of who was the best team in the regular season. Often it is not indicative of it.
I would love for the White Sox to get swept in the ALDS. Love it.
Versus them not making the playoffs.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't love it. We would hate it. But if the choice is them getting to the playoffs and getting swept versus them not making the playoffs, then we're all fine with them getting to the playoffs and getting swept this time, not next time. And they still got to track those dudes down. They got to track them down. I believe the Twins are going to come back a little bit, but still, they got some boppers. And they keep them, and they added another one. So I feel like 300 home runs is a lot. And maybe that number looks like 250 or 270 this year. But the White Sox are going to have to improve on where they are from a. What's really funny is all the people texting, were the Twins stealing signs? Nah, this is your problem. I don't know. Were they pounding on a garbage can? Were the White Sox doing it? Were the Cubs doing it? I don't know. And baseball hasn't really given us an opportunity to break all that stuff down. It sucks. You know what, Herbie? Can we load up the David Ross thing on cheating? Because we meant to get back to this earlier in the week, and we didn't have a chance. But since people brought it up, it gives us a chance to throw that back a little bit. We had Rossi on the show on Friday. It was actually a really fun and good interview. And I wanted to get his thoughts on what went on with the Astros. And he provided them.
I kind of applaud MLB and what they've done to kind of nip this in the bud. It looks like, you know, there was quick and swift action, a lot of research and a lot of emails and a lot of, you know, interviews that MLB went through to kind of get to the bottom of this whole thing. And you kind of felt the sense talking to the commissioner when I was in the winter meetings that something serious was going to come down. And I think we've seen there's just some, you know, they nipped it right in the bud, and you got to applaud them holding up the integrity of this game. And you know, I think everybody will give pause even with the thought of kind of cheating anymore.
To you, what is the difference between doing research, trying to get an edge, gamesmanship, and then cheating?
Well, I mean, for me, if you're using like a foreign substance, which is illegal, anything against the rules, I think MLB has been pretty clear in sending in some the rules and the mandates of what is and is not cheating. I mean, if you pick up stuff on the field and you're able to decipher the catcher's signs from second base and you've got a system to relay those signs as a team, that's one thing. But if you're using technology and you're looking at a live feed from a camera where we're trying to, as a MLB trying to create the best experience from a fan's perspective and give them a behind the pitcher catcher view and make that experience great. If you're using that to get every pitch in real time, that's not acceptable for me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you answering that honestly. How important is the teaching aspect of managing during spring training? And I was thinking about this morning. How much of that stuff is you're drilling it so that guys don't have to think? And how often have you seen stuff from spring training have to be reinforced throughout a season?
Well, I'm going to make you ask that again, because you told me, I'm like, Lawrence, you don't think I'm answering every question honestly? What do you think I'm doing here, buddy?
No. I thought that you answered. It's just that sometimes when you ask people questions, you kind of get a company line. And I thought that your answer to gamesman, you drew a pretty direct, like, red line of this is what cheating is and this is what it isn't. And that to me is, I need that. Because honestly, like, as a fan of the game, I'm struggling with this because I know that there are rumors about what's going on in the history of the game going all the way back to the beginning of the game. And for you to say, look, foreign substances, us looking at the rule book and using the technology and being clear about that, like, that helps me to form kind of my opinion on it. And look, I do this for a living. And sometimes you ask guys questions and they don't tell you the truth.
Right. Yeah, no, I just made me laugh. I'm like, wait a minute, I'll shoot you straight. I'm a straight shooter, Lawrence. I'm gonna give you my honest opinion every time I can, buddy. So I appreciate you saying that.
I really hope that we get Rossi every week. If his schedule doesn't allow and he ends up on the score in some other show, I'm good with it. But I hope we get him because I think we had a couple breakthroughs in the last conversation, and I'm looking forward to drilling down a little bit farther to see where that goes. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves face Manitoba on Saturday, February 1st. The first 2,500 fans to enter Allstate Arena receive an Oscar Dansk bobblehead. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. By the way, last night there was the, did you hear about this, Herbie? The Houston Sports Awards?
I did not.
So the Houston Sports Awards were going on last night. It's third annual event honoring local sports figures. And the executive of the year was Jim Crane and Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman took awards home. That is amazing to me. They should have just given everything to J.J. Watt and turned around and walked out of the room.
It's weird that guys who are very talkative on social media
have a lot of things to say on a lot of different subjects, except for what it is they do.
Maybe they've been given a gag order by the ownership?
Maybe. If supposedly at spring training, there's going to be an apology. Supposedly.
Why wait so long?
I agree with you, because it seems like some of the other players now are starting to really talk about some things. The segment is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Back after this on The Score. We did a little bit of White Sox stuff today with Mike Hall. That was fun. I can tell you that as Sox Fest approach, that there is going to be some more White Sox conversation and a couple of really good guests. I would tell you who, but I want to confirm it before I do. All I can tell you is that you should be listening to this show anyway between noon and two. We have a lot of fun. What's crazy is we haven't done a ton of Super Bowl breakdown, which for me is a victory. As we head into Thursday of the week before the walk-up to the Super Bowl, maybe we can't beat Herbie. I want you guys to think about for Friday us doing a Pro Bowl preview. Just think about it. I'm not going to try to steer it in any particular direction. I just want you to think about what we should do for our Pro Bowl preview on Friday's show. Campy's wheels are already turning, which is a very, very exciting thing. I don't know what we do with it, but we do something with it.
Move it to Hawaii.
Well, yes, that is what I think they should do. They should go back to Hawaii because no one wants to go to Orlando. I mean, Orlando's nice, but you don't want to go there if as a celebration.
I've literally never wanted to go to Orlando, ever.
It's fine, especially right now. It's probably 70 degrees in Orlando.
We checked it out. It's 53 degrees today.
All right, so no one really wants to go to Orlando.
They're wearing coats out there.
Isn't that
frozen.
Where Disney is, though?
Yeah, I've never wanted to go.
Well, at some point you're going to go.
Especially when they're eating those kids with the alligator and stuff.
All right, that's enough. Talking McNeil and Parkins next here on The Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.